Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you.
Karenna and I are so excited for today's episode. It has to do with marketing.
But not just any kind of marketing that you're seeing, either corporate marketing or entrepreneurship marketing. What we really loved about this conversation that this special guest, Samantha Flacker, talks about bridging the gap between corporate and spiritual, really bringing in the masculine and the feminine essence into your brand, into your business, and how you show up and share.
Samantha is a woman that helps entrepreneurs build remarkable businesses by seeing what others miss, drawing on her 13-year career advising over 100 brands, including Apple and PayPal. She bridges marketing and intuitive leadership, which is a unique approach that has helped hundreds of founders scale without burning out. The certified executive coach and podcast host is known for guiding ambitious women to find the answers hiding in plain sight in their marketing, leadership, and business growth.
So with that being said, enjoy this episode.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Well, thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here. We're so excited to dive into all thing marketing with you.
Same. Yeah, I think, I'm like, wow, that's me. That's a lot.
I know, right? I love reading people's bios. I think it's just, it's a nice reflection that you don't always get to hear out loud.
Exactly.
And then you can be like, I'm awesome.
It's like, wow, oh my gosh. That's I've done me. A lot.
Yeah. Which is wild, right? Because you're like, wait, I've done all these things. That is me. I did do those things.
You don't think about it because you move from day to day and you're just focused on the present. So when you look back, you're like, holy shit, that's a road I've been on.
Yeah. Many lives lived.
Many lives.
So tell us, what drew you into marketing? Is that something you studied in school? Like, what's your story? Give us your story.
I started in creative writing, and then I quickly pivoted because I wanted to be in business. I've always known that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I would make businesses, like when I was in middle school, I would come up with business ideas, and of course none of them were like actionable because I was 12. But I quickly moved to the business school, and I decided to focus on marketing because I felt like it was that creative writing, that creative aspect. There was some psychology involved, but in the business context. And then from there, I spent over 13 years working at agencies, in-house, at big companies, startups, basically every type of company you could imagine. I worked in there at different sizes. And then eventually, on the side of this, it wasn't feeling full for me. I was like, there's something else. And that's when I started exploring meditation, energy healing. I became a Reiki master. I had an energy healing business. And then I started to experiment. And this is when things got a little bit more interesting because I started applying the marketing strategies I'd use with these companies on my own homegrown tiny business, with no capital, a couple hours a week, very little time. And my energy business kind of exploded. Like it 10x'd within 9 months.
Wow.
To the point where I was like, I actually don't want to be a full-time energy healer. So
I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted. I need to figure something else out. Pivot again. And then I had two other businesses, did the same thing, started applying everything I knew, but in the context of being a bootstrapped entrepreneur. And then I was like, hold up. I started meeting all these wonderful women like you two doing their own thing, bootstrapping themselves, trying to grow something meaningful. And then I was like, this is where I come in. Like, this is my path. And so I became a certified coach and I started coaching, but I kind of am a hybrid. So I weave together some marketing advisory and some coaching. And of course, I bring in like the healing, energy healing, intuitive aspect to guide women founders.
Damn, I want to know all about this.
Yeah.
I just love that you're in this room because it's so aligned with like Samantha and I, just in general. Like, all the way from like you being in this space to like finding more of yourself to finding energy healing to being a Reiki master, like, absolutely incredible. And then somehow bringing the spiritual into the 3D and like making it all work.
You're speaking our language.
Yeah. I was like, girl, we're going to be able to talk the things.
Yeah.
Because I think what's so beautiful about what you said is you're bringing this deep part of ourselves into business that it seems like we're maybe some people are not really disconnected to, but it's such an important piece. So I'd love to know, how was that for you, like bringing all of you into your business and kind of blending the two because of what you do?
Oh, it was terrifying. I mean, it's so scary to bring your whole self into it. But I quickly learned, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, it's all or nothing. Like, you either fully commit and you see how your personal and professional life are basically one now, or you back out and you do something more safe. But I don't think any entrepreneur wants to do a safe path. They want to do something that lights them up. And they're like, no, I'm meant to do this. So yeah, it was really scary to do that. And it was also scary to start embracing the intuitive side, because my network is very corporate, like people at Apple, people at PayPal, people at huge, huge companies, not just tech, but other industries. So for me to start talking about like intuition and energy and business, that was really terrifying.
How was that received in those spaces?
I think there are some parts of my network that are probably like, she's woo-woo and like off the deep end, and okay, fine. But the majority of people, I've had people reach out being like, hey, I love that you're talking about things like astrology and business or hiring and energetics. And so like, those are the people I want to talk to, and those are the people I care about. So
yeah. And it's so interesting because when you think about successful businesses that are more than just a founder, like more than one person, energetics plays everything. Like, you want, I mean, there's so much evidence to show that if you have people that are passionate about what you're selling, your business will thrive. And if you have one person who just doesn't show up, doesn't care, like, it can bring down the whole business. So it's so funny to me that some of these huge corporations don't talk about that when it plays the biggest role in everything.
It blows my mind every time, because I also see it all the time. I still consult and will coach some people that are leaders in corporate, and I'm like, yo, you have like an energy vampire on your team, and your team is not going to be able to move at full capacity until you take care of this. And most people know it. Like, you can actually take out the language of energy vampire and energetics and be like, hey, you have someone on your team that's bringing everyone else down. And I know you know it because you're thinking about it every night at 2 a.m. So you should have fired them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, energetics and teams, like, they're huge. And if you're just starting and it's just you and like one other person or two other people, an even bigger effect.
Absolutely. I come from corporate and I'm still in corporate, just so you know. And I think what's interesting is like, what's difficult is you're talking about so much about the feminine. So I really want to also, you know, it's nice to hear that you're like, if those are not my people, they're not my people. But in the corporate space, like, it's so masculine. It's so data driven. It's not like, I have a feeling that this is the direction we have to go. Or like, I have this intuitive hit that I know I'm supposed to do.
I got to download.
Like, they're not doing that. They're like, all right, show me the metrics. Okay. I want to see the reports. What is the Salesforce saying? Like, da 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 da. And I think, you know, some leaders do tap into their inner knowing and they can get around that. But how has it been like talking to that in your work?
Yeah. You know, I think both are important. And it's interesting because I come from this corporate business masculine background. And then when I became a coach, entrepreneur, started meeting other women, they're like fully feminine driven businesses. And I'm like, okay, beautiful. But also, like, we should have a plan. Like, have you ever thought of a business plan? We need a little structure. And so it's trying to find the balance of those two in both worlds. So I like bringing the more business corporate side to the women who are like just totally flowing with their business. Cause I'm like, you could go so much farther, and this could actually be a lot easier if we figure out your relationship with masculine rigid stuff and then break through in the ways that make sense. Mm-hmm. And then in the corporate side, I think it's, you know, sometimes I just have to bite the bullet and put data together and put a strategy together. But then I make sure I turn into my like feminine space and energy when I deliver that, because to me, that's how I balance the two.
Mm.
I'm laughing to myself because I'm like, I think I need to hire her for my business. Because in my, like, in our business, we work really well because she's a bit more structured. I'm a bit more flow. But in my personal business, I have a jewelry brand, and it's like, I'm definitely way more in the feminine, the creative. Like, it'll all work out. I'll just do this over here and I'll do this over here. And like, I do struggle with that masculine. Like, what's the structure? What's the plan? What's the marketing? What's the da 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 da? I'm just like, We'll get to that later.
So funny. We'll do these calls and it's like, I'll be like, we have our Sunday call. And she's like, okay, you want to do that tomorrow? I was like, yeah, I thrive on structure.
Literally.
Like, I need a plan.
Well, yeah. Not even a plan. I also have learned the lessons of being so divinely in my masculine for so long. Like knowing what it looks like to take action, knowing what it looks like to fall back on, knowing to have like a structure and a plan, a strategy to get there. But also inviting the feminine. And so I know that we need both. And so I bring it into our business. And I think it's been supportive.
So no, it has. She's like, here's our social media schedule. Here's this.
It sounds like a good combo.
No, it's great. And sometimes I'll post by accident. She'll be like, did you look at our schedule? Like, no, I didn't.
Like, I just felt the vibes.
I felt the intuition. I had an intuitive download.
But it's how do you balance that, right? How do you find a balance between the two? How do you find some flexibility with the plans and schedules mm-hmm. when something does feel really resonant? And then also how do you bring some structure to all the vibes and downloads?
It's such a beautiful gift of what you're doing.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
So I want to get into like the actual marketing tactics that you have brought from these big corporations or these big organizations that you did really great things for. And like, how did you bring that into entrepreneurship for someone that is just starting their business? And what are the flavors or the pieces that you brought with you?
Oh, I like that. Flavors. There's a lot of flavors. It's a feast. The way that I view marketing is if you have a business that you really feel like there's a purpose for, you feel this calling, you're like, I need to do this. When that's the case, there is no doubt in my mind that there's a community of people out there just waiting to learn about what you do, right? So marketing is just simply like the tunnel that connects the two. But that can look different for any business. And so marketing, I view as kind of a systematic thing. You get to pull some different levers. You get to see, okay, these are my people that I'm trying to reach. This is what I do. Let's pull the lever of, let's say, social media. Or an email list or something else. And then again, it's how do you bring these two in and put a strategy, right? Because I think most people don't have a strategy. And it's very obvious when I look at someone's business. I'm like, okay, we are lacking like a holistic strategy here. So I think first it's like, what is the vision? Starting there. Like, what's the vision? Who are the people? What's the light bulb moment in your product or service? And I think most people skip that. But that's first. And as an example, you know, Intuit Mint, it used to like track all your like money and budget.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So early on before they launched, they talked to like 100 people on Caltrain in San Francisco and asked them about like, hey, if we built this product, what do you think? And they learned in those conversations that there was a light bulb moment when they said there was bank grade security for this type of product. That those few words were in their marketing until they closed. Years, right? Wow. And they got to see that people really did want something that could look at all their finances in one place and have this bank-grade security. So I think it's important for people to do a little research and find out what's your light bulb moment. For me, with my clients, the light bulb moment was when I would bring in things like meditation and visualization and energy work into our coaching sessions. And then they'd leave and they're like, I feel like I had a session with a business advisor and a session with an energy healer. And I had no idea that could ever exist. So then for me, it was like, now I create a strategy around that, right? I know my people, I know the light bulb, and then I just figure out what's the system for reaching them. So if you can follow that blueprint for your business, you're golden. Then it's just figuring out the details and iterating.
I think about that light bulb moment in like all my businesses. I think what's been interesting, and I brought this up earlier today, was like, there's also an evolution of me that's happening as I'm evolving. Yeah. And so I'd be curious, how do you talk to that, to the evolution of a business? Because you start somewhere and then it goes somewhere else. And then also you change so much as a human. And, you know, what I find sometimes I think in corporate that does so well is that they stick to something and they're committed to something. Maybe the messaging and something like that evolves over time, but they know what they're targeting and they might pivot a little bit. And so as an individual, as like a solopreneur, I was like, wait, I started this 4 years ago. I'm so different than I was then. Like, I don't want to talk to that. So how do you continue to have other new light bulb moments and allow your business to evolve with it?
That's a great question. I think starting first, like at the change, I was told my dad is an entrepreneur. He's had his own business for, I think, 20 or 30 years now. Small business, nothing insane. And someone told him, okay, make a business plan. And then when you're done with that, throw it out and then make another one because your business is going to change and adapt over time. And there are so many factors. Like for you as a solopreneur, obviously you're going to evolve and change. That's going to affect the business. There are other things, macroeconomics, the economy is going to affect the business, your local area. If it's a physical product, it could be things with your suppliers, right? There's so many factors, so many variables. So I would look at like what is changing first. Is it you? Is it something with the business, suppliers, the client? Is it macro? Is it micro? And then if it's you and you feel like you are continuing to pivot, then I advise people to like step way back for a second before you keep thrashing around. Let's figure out like where is that current change coming from? Like where have things really shifted? Because if you're building a brand, you don't want to change the look and feel every year. You're going to break trust with people. So getting really clear on what's changing first is going to allow you to evolve and react in the best way.
Mm. My next question, I think about, we have so many entrepreneur friends that have been doing this for years. You know, we're talking like 3, 5, 7, 10 years, and they still can't crack the code. Like it's not bringing in the income that they want. It's not successful. They're trying, they're showing up, they're doing all the things. Mm-hmm. Where would you start with someone like that?
Good question. I would energetically feel into them first, like meet with them, talk with them, just like see what's up. I know it's a very clinical way of saying, of approaching it, but I think energetically tapping in, it's like, okay, what's blocking them here? Is it something like they're afraid to be seen or they don't believe that they can do it? And that's sabotaging them subconsciously. Mm-hmm. Or is it that their product or service just isn't good enough? Maybe their business just like isn't built on something strong and it's not cutting it with people.
And again, the messaging's not hitting enough and the product's not good enough. The
product or service. Yeah, it could be
the actual offering.
Yeah. And it could be, or it could be a good product. Like let's say jewelry, for instance, beautiful piece of jewelry, right? Gorgeous. But maybe it's the way that it's packaged and delivered that doesn't live up to its premium feel or the way it's designed. Or if it's a service, maybe it's someone who doesn't have good follow through. Let's say if they're a coach, right? They don't have good follow through. Their onboarding process is chaotic. Then that means there's a leak, so to speak, in the funnel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's looking at like, where are those leaks in the process? Like, let's look at the initial product or service. Mm-hmm. Backing up further, let's look at the entrepreneur. Let's look at the entire process from beginning to end to see like what's not working. Mm-hmm. Because if someone's been doing it for 10 years and it's not working, like I figured that out.
That's a long time.
But I just, you know, and I think one thing that comes up in that is like, you know, they want it, the product to look the way that they want it to be versus the product the way that their client needs to receive it.
In my head, I'm like, they're a fixed sign. They're a Leo. They're an Aquarius. They're just like, we're going to make it happen. Like, this is it.
This is how I see it. And it's going to work. Yeah. You know?
I'm going to spend 10 years and then I'm just going to get to the point where I'm going to have a heart attack and be like, fuck it all. And throw it all away. You know? That's a fixed sign energy. I'm like, how many fixed planets do you have in your chart?
For real, though. And literally, that's part of it, too. Like, astrologically, there are certain arcs I've seen for people where, like, you're not going to get visibility. You could be putting amazing content out there, but because your astrological chart is like, no, girl, we're keeping you in a shadow for a bit, like, it's not going to work. So you have to look at everything that's affecting the person and the business.
What do you help? What do you do in those situations? You're just like, pause, take a step, like, wait.
We'll look at what's happening and then look at the future. Okay, when is this going to shift then? Mm. Okay, well, then how can you continue sustainably until that point? Mm. And if anything, prepare for that. Because usually if something's keeping you down energetically, it's going to come off. Like, we live in a world of balance.
Yeah.
So how can you use this time in a shadow to prepare for that time where you're going to be in a bright spotlight?
So good.
I love that.
I'm just like listening. What I love about the way that you speak, the energy that you hold, it's like mesmerizing. And so I'm like here thinking about like questions, but I'm also like so tapped in. I was like, this is so good.
I love that it is so rare to meet someone who clearly, I mean, obviously we don't know each other in like personal life, but in business, it's very clear you come with that very balanced like masculine feminine. And that's such a gift to be able to hold the container. Like even in your recommendations, it's holding the container, but finding the flow in that container. And I think that that is where a lot of people miss the mark, because they're either really in their masculine and they're forcing, or they're really in their feminine and they have no structure. Yes. And so it is really cool to hear you take this knowledge from that masculine world, bring it into the feminine, then like combine the two energies.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, I had to do that on my own too. Yeah. I felt like, and I'm sure you resonate with this, like coming from corporate, I felt so masculine at a certain point. And I was like, I remember talking to my friend on the phone who's an energy healer. And she's like in Canada, and she's just the type, she's in full feminine flow all the time. Like she like up and like randomly went to Thailand, met her husband, decided to move in with him immediately, you know?
Yeah.
And I call her and I'm like, I feel like I need to like tap into my feminine. Like I'm learning about divine feminine stuff and I don't feel it. And she's like, shut up. Like you are feminine. You just like need to turn it on a bit more and like lean into it. And I think that's important to remember too. Everyone has both sides. Mm-hmm. You just might be leaning into one more than the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what's interesting in that conversation of masculine and feminine dynamics, especially with the women that the people that are listening to this, a lot of them run into their masculine because it's safety. And I know a lot of women that listen to this, like it's high achieving. It's, I have to show up for my kids. Like I have no choice than to keep do. Yeah. And the invitation to be into the mask, into the feminine, it's so much more like intuition, trust, surrender, flow. What does that look like?
Yeah.
And it's so, I think sometimes it's very difficult for people that are so in their quote unquote masculine. And so I'd love for you to break down, what is a wounded masculine? Do you know, like how would you define the wounded masculine and also define the wounded feminine?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a lot of archetypes with both, but I'll just play with one on the masculine side, and that's the warrior, right? It's one that's out there fighting. It's the mom who has a lot of responsibilities and bills to pay. And so she needs to make her business work, but she feels like she's drowning or it's not coming in. So she wants to work harder. And I think that's, it's like when you're overriding the feminine instincts to be that warrior, it's mm-hmm. like that's when it's a bit wounded. If it's in a healthier state, then it knows when to fight and it knows when to rest between battles, right? You can't be on battle mode all the time. You're going to burn out. Mm-hmm. I think on the feminine side, you know, there's a lot of different archetypes you could play with too. I'm trying to think of one. Kind of like the gatherer, like the community gatherer. And that wounded one could be like, you're going to everyone for their POV and mm-hmm. you're not trusting yourself. Where the feminine that does trust herself, she's in a healthier place. She knows when to gather and to seek community POV, and she knows when to act, and she knows when to make her own choices. So yeah, it's really interesting to see both. And I think if someone is in a place where they're feeling a lot of pressure, either on the feminine or masculine side, it's how can you take the pressure off for a moment or two? Mm-hmm. Like how can you come back to yourself and remember this meditation I've been doing recently is I'm not the body and I'm not the mind. And just saying that a couple times so you can find this space between the physical and the mental and tap into like, what is that like spiritual you place, like your essence that goes beyond this lifetime, if you believe in that. And tapping into that to see, okay, now what do I feel about this? Because then the pressure lifts. The pressure is physical. So yeah, I know that was kind of a long rant, but.
No, that's beautiful. I would love to know how. What stage were you applying your gifts and connecting the spiritual gift that you have of yourself? Well, how has that evolved in your own business? So like, I'm thinking about the woman that's like, all right, I'm going to invite my feminine. We're going to do it. And they start doing it. And it's like so great. And then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, I'm way too feminine. And so like now I found a balance. So I'm so curious, like also like going through that journey, but then what has been the result? And then where are you now with accessing this like inner balance between the mind and the body?
Yeah. Oof. I mean, there's so much to the journey. I would say when I started tapping into the feminine more, I was like, I'm going to take a bath with like lavender and I'm going to play with crystals and I'm going to meditate and rest and not feel like I have to be at my computer 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. Right. That was me decompressing from the corporate and the overmasculine stuff. And then I started to get into a routine where I would get business ideas in the bath. Ooh. So then I would go in with an intention, but stay open, receive the idea. And then I would tap into the masculine side. Okay, I have this idea. How am I going to get it out there? How can I create a strategy? So that's when I started to find a good balance. And then I continue to play and develop my intuition. So I'll do a lot of intuitive kind of like fun little things where I keep it playful and curious, where like I got a box of Junior Mints, you know, the candy that's like kind of minty. And it was around Valentine's Day and there were, all of them are dark chocolate, but inside some are red and inside some are white. And so I was like, oh, this is a fun intuitive thing. Mm. So I'd grab one and I'd be like, okay, is it white or red? And I would practice with my intuition, like choosing which one. And then I would get it most of the time until my intuition felt like it was kind of exhausted. And I started getting it wrong. So I try to do little things like that. It could be really small throughout the day. And that helps me stay in tune with the feminine. Because now, like, I have a team. I have a podcast. I have a business. I have a whole advisory side of my practice where I still work with corporate clients. So, like, I'm a busy gal.
Yeah.
So these little things keep me tapped in and keep me balanced.
I love that. I love the idea of water too, because it's such like they're finding so much about water, how it holds consciousness, how it can be programmed, like, which is why we can be programmed. So that's so crazy and cool that you're like downloading these ideas in the bathtub or in the shower. I mean, so many people have spoken to that that have tapped into that side of things, which I love. I think I love even just like that exercise of I'm going to step into my highest timeline when I step out of the shower. Or, I mean, there's just so many ways you can, like you said, incorporate some of that like femininity. I'm curious, like, you obviously brought in the feminine. Where do you find the balance? I know you said you have the idea, then you start to implement the idea. What does it look like in like all areas of your life? Do you feel like you have that same balance in every area?
That's a great question. I think it's continually a struggle. Like there are certain areas, like working out. I went to the gym today. I felt so masculine at the gym. I was like, okay, 3 reps, 10, 12. Like I'm like counting in numbers and it's so rigid. And it's the structure. And part of it does feel good. You know, I have those endorphins. And then at the end, I was like, okay, I need to balance this. I need to stretch. And I'm not going to count the stretches or, you know, I'm just going to intuitively stretch. Or in my relationship, like I'm married to my husband, and sometimes I have to remind myself, like, soften, let him lead. And that's been a challenge for me because leadership is like my whole world. And I call the shots in my business and I'm a thought partner to leaders all the time. So sometimes in the home, I like need to remind myself that and be like, okay, just let him choose and be okay if you don't like it. Like, okay. Give them some grace. So yeah, it's a struggle. But again, I think it's bringing self-awareness to it and seeing, okay, where can I soften or where can I bring more structure?
How do you translate your intuitive hits to your team? Like, what if you give them like a, I don't know, I can just think of this, like, this is the route we're going. This is the strategy. They built the funnel. They did all the things that they were supposed to do. And then all of a sudden you're like, actually, we're not doing that anymore.
I was in the bath. And I had an idea.
No, my intuition's coming through so clearly. This is a no. So yeah. How do you, one, communicate to your team, but then also continue to nurture your team in the way that they need to be met?
Mm-hmm. I first check in on the change, mm-hmm. right? Make sure, like, this isn't just, like, a blunt reaction. Like, why do I have this change? Thinking about it broader, feeling into it intuitively, like, okay, if I'm making this change, how is this going to affect them and their workload? What's coming next? And so it's packaging that. It's communicating it in a healthy way. I think there are some entrepreneurs that'll just like fire hose their team with updates. And I think it's, if you can bring a little intention to the way you communicate it, then they're still going to feel like everyone's aligned and that work wasn't lost. So mm-hmm. I did have this come up. So it's funny you mention it, in December. And I had a launch. I was thinking about launching a community. And so I told them things were built. Emails were built for it, the whole deal. And then I just got this intuitive feeling of like, it's not the time. Mm-hmm. We need to roll this back. Actually, I need to rebrand and I need to do these other things. And actually, I need to do this other program about helping people rebrand. And so again, I took the time, packaged it together, met with my team, first checked in, like, how are things going? Anything I need to know? Delivered the update. And most of them were like cool with it, understood. And one was like, and she always gives it to me blunt. Like, she like tells me straight up, which I love. And she's like, okay, another redirection noted. And I was like, yes.
So
but
corporate of her.
I was like, yes, but this is going to stick. And sure enough, like, it's been rolling out and everything's aligned and there hasn't been another redirect since. Mm-hmm. Right?
Look how Mars retrograde of you.
Yeah, for real.
That was all during Mars retrograde, like from December on.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, a little rewind, a little love change that. Up, and then moving forward.
Another free brand. That answer is so good. She's like,
Noted.
Yeah.
I think that's so beautiful because there's so many entrepreneurs that like have so many ideas, especially if you are entrepreneurs. You're like, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. And like, there is this like, I want to do all the things.
Yeah.
And so if there's a listener out there that is saying like, I have all these ideas I want to do. I want to do all things. What would you say?
Connect back to the vision that you had and then start to prioritize. And the prioritization is going to be key because that depends on two factors. It depends on the vision and what you have and what like your demands and requirements. Like, do you need a certain amount of money? Okay, well then focus on the ideas that are money generating first. Is your focus on in-person community? Okay, well then focus on the things that touch that. So prioritization can look a lot of different ways, but it's absolutely crucial. And one thing I want to mention from the corporate space is that the number one complaint of people that work or report directly to CEOs is that they have all these ideas and they like give their team whiplash.
Yeah.
So don't be that entrepreneur.
Yeah, true.
Check in with yourself and like prioritize all your ideas because you'll have even more. Like it's probably endless.
So one thing when you say about priorities, I'm going to bring it back to like the podcast for us. Like, we are trying to create this like beautiful elevated experience of the podcast. Like, we really see like, look, like we're trying to create this.
Yeah.
But we're also in such the early stages of like creating the brand, like showing up on social media. Like, we have multiple things that were going on. And so things that I think about that are money generating to at least cover the expenses or to pay the expenses or get us to a place that are doing things are certain things in our business that are going to pull the lever. But that isn't necessarily the ultimate vision for the business, but they are the things that I need right now.
Yep.
And so what are your thoughts on that? Because I think that's the way that we've been thinking about business is like, which ones do we pull now towards the ultimate vision, but what's going to get us where we want to go?
Yeah. It's honestly finding the balance. You're going to have to pull those levers to fund your business, but the goal is to focus on the levers that aren't money generating now, but will be in the future. How do you get closer to those and then bring those to the present? And when those come in, then you can decelerate the other levers that you were pulling to move into a more aligned direction for your business. And that's what I've had to do too. I did more marketing advisory work in the beginning because that was really easy. It was low hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. It paid. It was a bit tougher even after I got my coaching certification to reach more people who wanted to find me as a coach because I didn't have a huge following. I was brand new to social media. Like, I had like 200 followers. So, and I still have a small following, but over time, the momentum is there, the demand's there. So I've, you know, backed off on my marketing advisory work. And I'd say like 80% of my business now is coaching with women. So
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's like, it's being patient while you find that dance.
Yeah. I think that's like so important for any entrepreneur to hear because they're like, but I want this to look like it. You kind of get sold this like, I don't know how to say, like, you know, you can have everything and you want in your business. Do it the way that you want to do. And it's going to bring you money if you show up the way you're doing. Yep. But there, I do think there's these like fundamental things to business that you have to pull certain levers that are essentially going to eventually shift for the structure that you want to go in. I think we forget that part. And sometimes I get funny with certain people. I'm like, one of the most important levers is getting paid. Is knowing how to make sales.
Yeah. A business needs money,
to survive. And I'm like, you know, but I also do sales in corporate. So I think about sales all day long. And so I'm always like, if I'm not bringing in money or we're not thinking about making revenue, we're not going to be able to sustain this.
Yeah.
And so what are the things to help us get to a place that it is monetized in that way?
Are you asking
what? No, I'm just in general, just making a comment of like, these are the things that I think entrepreneurs need to think about.
Yes.
Because when you're an entrepreneur, you're like, I want to do it all the way that feels good.
I also think sales, at least for as an entrepreneur, like as an artist, is like the last thing you're thinking about. It's so hard to realize, like, at the end of the day, you can make all the art, but if you can't sell it, then it can't be a career for you. It can't be a business. And I feel like there's so many people, especially like we have a lot of women or people in our lives that are still in corporate or 9-to-5, but want to create a business. And it's like, they have a passion or they have a desire or they have, you know, I want to bring this to the world. But it's like, how do you, that's where I think it comes back to like your masculine, you know, energy that you're bringing of like, here's, you have to have a plan. You have to be able to sell. You have to be able to understand that like, yes, you have this, you can bring, but if you want it to be a business, you can leave this other thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are the steps that have to be taken to get there?
Mm-hmm. Completely. And I think, especially if you're still in corporate, I would say like start with the product or service, get really good and knowledgeable about that because that's the heart of everything. And then you will learn different parts of the business, right? Then you'll learn, okay, marketing and branding and how to spin that up. And then you'll learn sales and getting it out there more and whatever that might look like for their business. So it's like, one, don't feel like you have to tackle the entire thing and be good at everything because you're not going to be. Mm-hmm. So be patient with yourself as you learn different parts. And then be willing to bring in people because I think a lot of people are scared to hire people and bring them on, but it's one of the like greatest initiations energetically you can like go through in your business, and it will open up your time and space and capacity for other things like crazy.
What do you think are the best places to outsource? Like where would you advise someone to outsource first?
Look at what is taking up more of your time than it needs to. So do an audit. Like, where is your time actually going in a week? And you'll know pretty quickly, okay, I need to hire here or there. Because a lot of people are doing things that they don't need to be, like a ton of website updates or marketing, like whatever's not really in their wheelhouse, that's what they're going to have to outsource.
And do you, when you're hiring your own people, like do you, how do you advise people to hire people? Because we talked about energetics.
I just wrote a Substack on this and did an episode on it. But, you know, start there. Start with the gaps that you need to fill. And then to get really clear on the type of person that you're looking to bring in, don't look for a mini-me. Don't hire a mini-me. You want someone who has different skills. And then I love trial assignments. So especially if it's someone who's doing a lot of tasks, like let's say they're going to be writing marketing copy for you or managing certain channels. Taste test it first before you dive into a 6-month or year long contract with someone or hire someone part-time or full-time. I think that's something from the corporate world, like trial assignments are pretty common. Bring that in, like bring that piece in. I personally don't believe in free work, so I always pay for my trial assignments. I'll be like, hey, don't spend more than this amount on it. This is how much I'm paying. Are you up for it? I make sure that's in line with what I plan on paying them. And then the last piece is intuitive. Like intuition is a tool in the hiring process. If you're getting red flags during the hiring process, it's like dating. It's like, don't ignore the red flags. You're going to be crying in your car 6 months down the line. Come on. And I think it should be that like no reservation feeling like, yes, this person's it. Green flags everywhere. Let's go. And that's how I felt about all the hires that I've made, and all of them have been amazing. And I'm like so proud of this very small but mighty team I have.
In that process, something that comes up for me as you think about, talk about that is like one thing I've heard is like you should be writing your own copy. You should be doing all your Instagram posts. Like no one's going to ever speak the business the way that you speak it. No one's ever going to see it the way you see it. And, you know, in corporate, that's not true. I mean, there's like 600 people and everyone's following the line and trying to find the message. So I'm so curious, like, what is your perspective on that? And like, when's the right timing? Because, you know, getting someone to do the copywriting for you, but maybe they don't see the vision as clearly as you. Like, what does that look like to either train them, get them on board, know that they're a good fit for your brand and that they're able to communicate your offering?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the way that I view marketing copy is you start with the chunk that you want to be creating. So for me, I like writing and I like speaking. So recording a podcast episode is that chunk of content. Writing a Substack post in my own voice by hand, not by with AI, like that's a chunk of copy. And then they can go and repurpose that. So it has the same tone of voice. It is the same message. And then my eyes are on it. It's not like I'm like, go do whatever you want. I do review and I make edits and I approve the final version. But they're handling the in-between that takes a lot of time. And they're scheduling and they're putting graphics to it and all of the other components. And I think making sure that someone can, you know, that they get your tone of voice and they get your brand is very important. So that's the trial assignment piece is like, for example, I hired someone on to do marketing copy and run some funnels for me. And I had her write a sales page, but she was like, actually, this is for a freebie. So you don't need a sales page for a freebie. I'm going to write a sales page for you regardless, but for a freebie, this is actually the funnel you need. And that I was like blown away. I was like, perfect. I need someone with the strategic brain to understand that. Right, even more strategic with things like funnels than I am. And I think that's a big hiring piece too, is outsource strategic thinking.
I love that.
Now I think about cost. Because in that, like I think there's a lot of talk in the industry of hiring like a VA, right? And some of these VAs are in a different country. They're living in the Philippines. They're a lot cheaper to pay, but $20 to them is like amazing. And obviously, I think some of them are really, because I've worked with a couple of VAs, and I think they're really great at the admin stuff. But like what you're talking to a strategic thinker, I feel like that would be an extra cost. Maybe that's like a limiting belief of my own. Like that would be an extra cost of the business or a salary that I don't have currently in my business because the capital's not there yet. So how do you balance the two?
You don't have to pay an arm and a leg for good strategic thinking. And you know, you can find strategic thinkers overseas for sure. Mm-hmm. You can find them here too, but it doesn't have to be even a full part-time role. It could be someone 5 to 10 hours a month, so a lower cost to start with. But once you plug them in and you see how much space it opens for you,
that's incredible.
Both in your calendar and like headspace, what I found is the first hire is the hardest because you have to take a leap of faith, like in yourself and the person. But when you see that space open up, the ROI is there. So the first month I had this person on, I made more than what I was paying her because of the extra time that I had to network and like meet with clients.
Make sales and wow.
That's why I tell you. Just kidding.
Anyway, she tells me this all the time in my business.
Well, what's interesting is like there's this, we talked about this literally just yesterday where I was like, she's like, I can do that. And I was like, just because you can doesn't mean you have to.
Yeah.
Because your time is valuable. I was like, we don't need to do it. I was like, that's the one thing in our business I was like thinking. I was just like, that is so easily outsourced. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Just because you can do the website. Don't do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard because in the beginning of my own personal business, like I did my website. I did everything.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it. It's great. But like now I'm so burned out that I want to redo my website. And I'm like, ugh, I don't even want to look at it because it's like terrifying. And I think that that's such a great suggestion. I had another client of mine who is like an entrepreneur and has several businesses. She was like, if you want passive income, she's like, make this lower end product, pay someone to go be your salesperson, take it to the stores, give them a commission. And then yes, you're making less money, but you're still making money that you're not having to work to do, you know? And I was just like, oh, that's such a great suggestion, you know? But it is in that moment of like, you have to take the leap of faith because maybe you weren't planning to pay someone right away, but I mean, the funds may be there, they may not, but it's like, that is such a leap to like trust that person to go and do something for you. But then as you said, it's like the return you get in the time just like opens up the door to so much more.
It's huge, yeah. And I mean, it is really scary to make that first hire. And you need to do it before you fully feel ready. Right. It's like having a kid, like you might never feel ready, but you just gotta
go to dive in here. I'm curious, like pivoting just a little bit, because we were talking about you're working with leaders and you're advising leaders. What do you think makes a great leader? And how do you help people become a great leader?
That's a great question. I think when I think about a good leader, I think of someone who can balance their internal compass and the external circumstances. Mm. They know they're responsible for people and a business and whatever else might be there, but they're willing to trust themselves and what they see and what they think, their POV, while also balancing that with what's the reality? Because if you're a leader that's not taking into reality into account, then you're probably going to lead people astray because it's just your point of view. If you're not trusting your point of view and you're only reacting to the reality, then again, you might be leading people astray. So it's how do you balance those two things? So you need to deeply trust yourself and be like in a good energetic state. You need to take care of yourself, your physical health, your mental health. Like you as a leader, like taking care of you is kind of number one. And then it's to, you know, ask questions, you know, can you deeply listen? That's a huge mark of a good leader, I think. So it's, yeah, the internal and external.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So good.
To tie the two like a little bit, like what you were saying, like hiring someone, I think when you do hire someone, like I don't think they have to be the golden star out the door. That's where your leadership comes in, and that's where the coaching comes in to show them, to help them evolve them. Like, yeah, they have to check up a bunch of boxes for you from a skill set standpoint, but you also get to learn to trust them by coaching them through the process.
Yeah, I love
that. Well.
True. Yeah. And noticing, like, what do they really love about this? Like, why are they showing up to do this thing? And then seeing where can you nurture them? So, like, for one of my people, like, I could tell that she really wanted to move more into design and more into color specifically. So then it's like, I'll kind of coach her on the side and I'll, you know, give her referrals. If I come across someone that's a good fit, like, I'm happy to support them in their own journey. And I think having that feels really good too. It's like a really good exchange between the two of you.
That's also, I think, a great sign of a leader is someone who's willing to like be a champion for their employees or their people, their team, yeah. And know that like, yeah, that's probably not their forever dream. Maybe they have higher aspirations. Like, how do you cultivate that? It's so interesting. Like my hairdresser, she's the owner of the salon, and she does that so well. Like she brings on these people to assist her, but it's with the intention of them getting on the floor as quickly as possible. And like, she's such a champion of them. Like watching her be a leader is so awesome. And she's so good at holding, like exactly you said, that energy, and not allowing the external environments to like rock her too much. And you love going there. Like there's never drama. I mean, if there is, you wouldn't know. It's just, I'm sure there is, but you wouldn't know because they like the way that she manages it. And I think that's such a great example to what you're speaking to, which is like being that champion, being that supporter, holding that internal external balance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. I mean, you have to fight for your team and you have to provide air cover in a way to certain things that maybe they don't need on their plate energetically when they're working for you. So I see that too with leaders.
Mm. Yeah. What's the biggest, I'm curious, because you've worked for so many large companies. What's like the biggest mistake you've seen like these big companies making?
They get too bogged down with how big their organization is and they lose relevance. They're not relevant anymore. If you're a big company, you have to stay relevant with people.
Meaning, like they lose the connection, you mean? Customer?
They become like this archaic tool or product or service that people just aren't into anymore because they've gravitated towards something that a startup can provide. And they're not doing the due diligence to see, we should actually acquire this startup so that we stay relevant with these people. It's like they almost get too old. It's like they get stale. So that's something. And so I think it's really important for people in corporations to constantly be like, how do we stay top of mind? How do we stay modern and relevant? Because we're in such a rapid period of change that we're seeing a lot of older companies die and fail because they can't do that. So yeah. That's the number one thing.
That makes sense. I think of Blockbuster and how they got like, they had the opportunity to do what Netflix did and was like, no, no one's ever going to be doing that. And then obviously they were wrong.
Yeah. And that's tough. I mean, you can't always have that foresight, but you know, you can try. And that's why I've worked with so many companies as an advisor is because they need these outside people to come in and say, this is what's really happening outside. Like, this is how people are really perceiving you. Yeah. And again, I think no matter how big your company is, it's remembering you're on the inside of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not how people are perceiving it on the outside. Mm-hmm. And that's where advisors and coaches and, you know, even just a friend, right, who sees it from the outside can be so valuable to listen to those people.
Mm-hmm. I have so many more questions, but I'm like, no, the time's coming up.
I know.
and I want to get to know you a little bit more too. So something, by the way, this has been absolutely absolutely phenomenal. I'm like, I'm just
yeah. We could talk for hours on all of this.
Like, because I love just, like, that you're able to speak to like corporate, because it like massages my brain of like talking about these bigger companies and how they're doing things, but also bringing it back to like the real world, and like you're in energy world and you're in the coaching and consciousness and spirituality. I was like, damn, this woman is everything. So thank you. Oh,
thank you guys.
Yeah. I would love to know, where in your life today are you feeling more called to be fully expressed? This could be life, health, relationships, business, anywhere you're feeling to bring be more of yourself.
I think on stage, anytime I'm on stage, I feel so big. And it feels so good. And it feels like there's this smaller part of me that finally gets room to speak and to say things that might be a little unexpected or unconventional, right? Again, talking about astrology in a corporate setting, like not the convention. But I'm feeling called to speak more on stages. And recently when I've been on stages, it just, they are catalyst moments for my business. But again, it's not even my business. It's like the impact. It's like I get to reach more people when I'm on a stage. So I'm being called to do that for sure.
Can I ask, what's your human design?
I'm a projector.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, she is too.
Nice. And the entire time she's talking, I'm like, I think I know.
Splenic projector.
Yeah. You're splenic? Okay, nice.
Yeah. What about you?
I think, I forget. I don't know. Tell you later.
Yeah.
Look it up in my chart.
I'm a manifesting generator. Nice. I'm a heretic. I'm a 5-1.
Cool.
I'm supposed to like speak truth, I guess.
You do that.
I say a lot of things. I'm all into the woo-woo. I like said earlier, I wanted to be a star in my next life. Like, I'm just like,
oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah, we threw. Yeah. He took it well. We threw a little because he's like, okay, be a star.
Yeah, he's like, that's awesome.
Talking about spiritual beings in our next life, and he's like, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's so cool to. It's so refreshing and so neat because I think it's easy to fall into the woo-woo spiritual. I don't even like the word woo-woo because honestly, it's life. It's like soul work. It's what we're here really for.
Yes.
And then you have the matrix. And to have someone like talk about how to bring them together is so powerful. And it's where we're going. Like, I think we're going to see more and more companies bringing in energetics, quantum, physics, like the understanding that everything is energy, that we are constantly attracting and mirroring to each other all these things. So to have this conversation and like hear that you want to bring all this to the stage and like share it is so awesome and so powerful. And like, yeah, girl, get it.
I mean, ditto. Like, I love that you have this podcast and this platform to speak on that. The fact that we can have this conversation and publicly publish it, like, that's so awesome. Cool. Yeah. And there are so many generations past that there's no way we could have done that. So,
yeah, totally.
I think
it's
awesome.
We're here.
We're here. We're still leading the way. There are certain rooms I walk into and I'm like, am I in a bubble? Like, I think about this all the time. We were just in a room the other day and I was just like, damn, I started doing these things at like 26. You're like in your 50s, like maybe scratching the surface. And I just feel like there's so much space for us to continue sharing. And so speaking about this is so important, even though I feel like I live in a bubble, like attracting you and attracting all these people that are like my people. But like when you take it out to the real world, you're like, you guys have so much to catch up on.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to be the bridge for that. And that's what you're doing. Like, you're being a bridge to like, okay, you're here, but you could totally come over here. And it's going to be really nice.
And I appreciate
it. I feel really good.
There's so many healers and people in this world that want to share their gifts and also don't have the business savvy or don't know how. And so, like, your message is so powerful and important because you're giving people hope and inspiration that it's possible to be spiritual and be successful and have a business. And, you know, like, I want to support all those people because I'm like, we need a lot of healing around here.
We do. We totally do. And that's where it's like, let's get over the competitive fears. Like, just get your stuff out there because everyone's different. Like, there's a community of people for every single healer and like soulful business. It's just, how do you puzzle piece the things together to reach those people? So yeah, it's like my true honor to like make that happen and have ripple effects go out further.
Where can people find you?
On Instagram, growwith_Sam, and at growwithsam.com.
Amazing.
Seriously, thank you so much. Like, come hang out with us. How do we do dinner?
Yeah,
I know. Sleepover.
Yeah, sleepover.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you both.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you.
Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
Before we go, we want to remind you that you are powerful and deserving of fully expressing who you are. Embracing your journey toward authenticity is a vital part of that process, and we're grateful to be alongside you. If you're looking to dive deeper and connect with others who celebrate their true selves, we invite you to join our community. It's a virtual space for connection and accountability where you can share your experiences and grow together. You can find the link in our show notes. We can't wait to welcome you.
See you on the next one.